The Obama administration is changing the way that it awards funds for transportation projects. It's not just an effort to speed up the way that they are spending this pool of money, but there's also a change in vision on how the money is awarded, what projects get funded. Fair treatment, they say, includes fair access to good transportation across all communities. Here's Federal Transit Administrator Peter Raugoff.
An important part of our need to speed up this process involves quitting all the haggling between the federal government and these agencies about whether they follow and pass a very narrow criterion. Instead, we're going to recognize all of the benefits the transit projects provide, like environmental benefits, mobility benefits, benefits to low-income communities, and that will hopefully speed up our process in getting these projects off the ground.
Let's take a look at these different examples of how money is awarded for transit projects with David Schultz. He's the transportation reporter for WAMU in Washington, D.C. David, you just heard Peter Raugoff talk about three different things. He said environmental benefits, access benefits, and also low-income communities.
Right. That's a big change from the previous funding criteria that was established by the Bush administration. Earlier this year, the Obama administration changed the funding criteria, and now they'll be looking at funding transportation projects that have livability benefits, and that includes economic development and environmental benefits towards economically distressed areas. And one example of that in the D.C. area is a bus grant that is going towards, Prince George's County in Maryland and other areas throughout the D.C. region.
Well, explain this project to me, because it's a pretty small fish kind of project.
It is. It's relatively small. It's $15 million, which sounds like a lot, but it's in terms of transportation projects, it's relatively small. The money is going to go towards improving more than 2,600 bus stops, most of those in Prince George's County and economically distressed areas. It'll go towards better signage, new shelters, more benches, better lighting, and just it's a project that's sort of not necessarily designed to shorten commute times like would have been under the previous funding criteria, but it's just designed to get people on buses who wouldn't necessarily be riding buses otherwise.
And what kind of communities will this serve?
This will serve economically underdeveloped areas, areas with lots of African Americans, Latinos, Asians. It's definitely targeted towards those neighborhoods.
So people are seeing it as kind of a victory for low-income communities and minority communities in the D.C. area.
It is, and it's interesting to sort of contrast this with other projects that didn't get funding, like the K Street Busway. That's a project that would have created a dedicated bus lanes on K Street, but that did not get funding, so it's sort of interesting to contrast.
Well, it's interesting also how that particular thing mirrors other things going around in the country. That's David Schultz, transportation reporter for WAMU. And we can go now to Minnesota. Laura Yuen joins us. She's a St. Paul reporter for Minnesota Public Radio. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
What is the project that you're getting funds for in Minneapolis?
Well, this is called the Central Corridor Project. It's a 11-mile light rail transit route connecting the downtowns of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And this announcement basically made it possible to include three extra stations along this line. And that issue has just been a huge hot-button issue for the communities who would be served by this line. Previously, the three extra stations would not be possible because it's kind of through the what's called the cost effectiveness index out of skew, and
it was too expensive to make these lines that just serve these underserved communities.
That's right.
And they called it a civil rights concern because there were a lot of Asians and African Americans who said, "Look, we need bus service. I mean, light rail service, like anyone else does."
Right. I mean, some folks felt that this line was just being built as kind of a pass-through for the rich, you know, commuters who are just trying to get from one city to the next.
Okay. And you're now getting almost $8 million for these three extra stations. That's Laura Yuen, a St. Paul reporter for Minnesota Public Radio. And we're going to go stop at one more place where this new policy on funding is making a difference, and that is in Oakland, California. Guillermo Mayor joins us. He's a senior staff attorney with Public Advocates, a nonprofit law firm and advocacy agency in Oakland, California. Good morning, Guillermo.
Good morning.
So explain to me the story of the BART Oakland Airport connector fight, the fight over this.
Sure. Well, this is the first time that the federal federal government pulls stimulus funding from a project because local officials did not take the necessary steps to ensure that the project was fair to low-income and minority populations. And at issue is a three-mile connector between the Oakland Airport and a BART station, or the Bay Area Rapid Transit District, which is the commuter rail service here in the San Francisco Bay Area. The project would replace an existing bus shuttle that connects the BART system to the airport with a $500 million rail link. And the concern over this project is that it does not provide any benefits to East Oakland residents that are overwhelmingly African American, Latino, Asian, and low income. What the project does is that it charges a $6 fare to get to the airport and back, so $12 round trip. It includes no intermediate stops so that East Oakland residents can access the many jobs along the three-mile route. And it really has not included their input. This project has significantly changed, and the community has been left out.
So this was another chance where you, I mean, this is another situation which you argued that they were creating a pass-through situation for higher-income people. You fought against this, and the Obama administration sided with you.
That's correct. It was unprecedented. You rarely see this kind of agency enforcement of civil rights, and it's great news for, it signals a major shift in civil rights enforcement, not only at the Federal Transit Administration, but we think at other federal agencies.
All right, so you're going to get a service from the members, the residents of East Oakland, all the way to the airport, which will include stops along the way so they can get to their jobs.
Well, that's what we want, is a project in the end that includes benefits for the community. Whether it ends up being a rail link or an improved bus link is yet to be known.
Okay, Guillermo Mayor is a senior staff attorney with Public Advocates, a nonprofit law firm and advocacy agency. We also spoke with Laura Yuen, St. Paul reporter for Minnesota Public Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.